This time with our children, make their way down for the children's moment. And as they're making their way down, I have been told that there will be no children's church for the older kids today, just for the younger kids. All right, guys. They have my backpack here with us. Come on down, come on down. All right, let's see what I got in here today. Does anybody know what these are? Pliers, right. What about this? A screwdriver, right. And these are both tools, right? Right, and tools help us fix things, right? Tools help us fix things. They help us to do things. Does he? That's awesome. Yeah? You do? Awesome. Well, tools help us do things, right? Tools can help us fix things. They can help us do things that we can't do on our own, right? And Jesus is kind of like that. He helps us to fix things. He helps us to fix our life when we do things that are bad. He helps us to do things that we're not able to do by ourselves, right? And Jesus gives us tools. He's equipped us with tools so that we can go out and help other people, right? He gives us the Bible so that we can see how we're supposed to live as Christians, right? And he gives us a lot of other cool things that can help us to help other people, right? All right, would you guys pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the many tools that you've given us, and we thank you for the many ways that you've helped us, Lord. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to come in your house and worship you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, I ask that it's just that, it's your word and not my own. Lord, I ask that these would be your word, that this would be your message for your people, Lord, not my message for them. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would place the words on my heart. And I would ask that your Holy Spirit move in this congregation, Lord, because I know that your Holy Spirit is here with us now. And all these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Today's scripture verse comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. And it says, "When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.' Another disciple said to him, 'Lord, first let me go home and bury my father.' But Jesus told him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.' This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God." Have you ever looked at the statistics on how many people regain the weight that they set out to lose? Or how many people start a workout regime just to throw in the towel before they meet any results? The statistics are alarming, and what you find is that most people who set out to lose the weight don't lose it, and most people who set out to get fit, they don't. And there's several reasons for this. But I can't help but to think that the biggest reason for this is that people want the benefits of dieting and exercising without having to meet the demands of dieting and exercising. That's the reason why there's so many fad diets, so many weight loss pills. And that's why they're so popular. That's why there's so many different get-rich-quick schemes, is because people want the benefits of these things, but they're not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to work for it. And I don't think it's very different with Christianity. People want the benefits of a relationship with Jesus without having to make the sacrifices to truly follow Jesus. People want the joy that comes with a relationship with God. People want the peace that comes with a relationship when they truly know Jesus. They want these things, but they're not always willing to put in the sacrifice. They're not always willing to put into work to truly follow Jesus, to truly let him lead their life. And it's hard. It's hard to sacrifice. It's not easy to follow Jesus. So many people buy into this lie that once they become a Christian, their lives will just get easy. But we know that's not true. Scripture tells us that that's definitely not true. Your life doesn't get easy. It definitely gets better, but not easy. In this scripture in Matthew, we see that Jesus was talking to these people, and there was this big crowd starting to gather around him. And to get away from the crowd, he orders the people that were following him to get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. To get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake so that they can have peace and quiet. And we see that two men come up to Jesus in two different instances here. The first one, the scripture tells us, is a teacher of the law. He's a scribe. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." This man was a scribe. And what that means is that he would have been very smart. He would have been very intelligent. He could read, he could write, and he would have known a lot about the scriptures. And that would have put him leaps and bounds in front of other people in his community that were trying to further their education. Just like people today, just like students today, seek out what colleges they want to go to, seek out what trade schools they want to go to if they're looking for further education. It's just like that in Jesus' time. The students went out and found what rabbis they wanted to study under, what teachers they wanted to study under. And that's what this man was looking for. That's what this scribe was looking for. He was looking for Jesus to be his rabbi, to be his teacher. And just like there are colleges and universities that are more prestigious today, there were rabbis that were more prestigious in those days. Just like there's students that are more prestigious today, there are students in the scriptural times that were more prestigious that rabbis would have really wanted to work with. This scribe would have been like a coveted free agency quarterback that you could just scoop on your team and contend for a Super Bowl. He would have been a big deal. He would have been very well known in his community. But Jesus wasn't worried about that. Jesus wasn't worried about the name that this man was making for himself. Jesus was more worried about this man's heart. Would this man put this title that he's been so hard working for on the back burner and truly go and follow Jesus? Would he give up this life that he was making for himself and follow Jesus? That's what Jesus was worried about. Yes, this scribe would have been a big deal in his community. People would have known him. And in this culture, he would have been looked at as crazy to throw that aside to go and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus was wanting him to do. Jesus was wanting him to truly drop everything and follow him. And that's why we see Jesus reply with, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus was telling him that if you truly want to be my disciple, you have to be willing to sacrifice your place in this world. The name that we're trying to make for ourselves in life, it can become an idol for us. It can become something that we put ahead of Christ in our life. Chasing that next promotion, chasing that next title, trying to be the cool kid in school. All these things, they can become idols, something that we put in front of Christ in our life. And that's exactly what was happening with this man here, with this scribe. He was so blinded by wanting to get this next title, to get this next promotion, that he sees Jesus as just this teacher that he can learn under instead of the Lord that he could follow. He was so blinded by only seeing Jesus as a teacher that his eyes weren't open to see that he was standing in the presence of the Lord. The name that we are trying to make for ourselves in life can become an idol. And Jesus doesn't care about the name that we're trying to make for ourselves in life. Now, don't get me wrong. He definitely wants us to be successful. He wants us to live successful lives. But what he's more worried about is our heart. What he's more worried about is our willingness to sacrifice to follow him. To give up this place in the world. To give up what culture says that we should be doing. What our society says we should be doing. And listening to what God says that we should be doing. You see, Jesus is alluding to the fact that this world is not his permanent home. This world is not Jesus' permanent home, and it's not our permanent home either. But so many times we get caught up of what this world says we should do that we don't listen to what God says that we should do. To truly follow God, we had to embrace being a stranger in this world. And what I mean by that is we had to look like strangers because our society thinks that we should live life one way. But our God tells us that we should live life a totally different way. And if we're living the life that God calls us to live and not the life that our society, our culture tells us to live, then we will look like strangers to this world. And that's what God is calling us. That's what Christ is calling for us. This man wasn't willing to give up this title that he had been working on so hard. This man wasn't willing to be a stranger in a community that he didn't know. He wasn't willing to throw his life aside and truly follow Jesus. Jesus was calling him to get on the boat and go to the other side with him, go to the other side of this lake. And we don't hear about this man anymore in scriptures, so I think it's safe to say that he missed the boat. He didn't go with Jesus. Then we see there is another guy that comes up to Jesus. This guy, the scripture tells us, is a disciple. Now, he wasn't one of the 12 disciples that was going around following Jesus, but he was a disciple in the fact that he was there trying to learn from Jesus. And this next guy talks to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." He says, "Lord, I want to go with you, but only on one condition, if I can go back first and bury my father." And when I first read this, I thought, you know, this man has a good case. Jesus would probably let him go back and bury his father because that's something pretty important to do. And when I saw Jesus' response the very first time I was reading the scripture, I was like, Jesus, that's kind of harsh. But the more I read and the more I studied about this context in the Jewish culture, burying your father meant a couple different things. The first thing it could have meant was literally burying your father. But in Jewish culture, their custom was that the body had to be buried 24 hours from the time that the person died. And so if this guy wasn't already back home burying his father, he wasn't going to meet that time. He wasn't going to meet that time quota of 24 hours. Also, when one of your relatives dies in the Jewish culture, you observe what's called the Shavah. Shiva is the number 7 in Hebrew, and that's a 7-day mourning period to where you didn't talk to anybody but family. And we see that this guy was out with a big crowd following Jesus, so it's safe to say that that's not what he was doing. It's safe to say that he wasn't wanting to go and bury his father at that exact moment. Another thing that this burying your father could have meant was that he would go home and carry out his father's last wishes and then bury his father, that his father was about to die, so he was going to go home and tend to his last wishes. And another thing that it could have meant is that his father wasn't even close to dying yet, but he was going to go home and learn the family business and work beside his father until he died so that he can get his inheritance and then go and follow Jesus. So there's many different things that this bury your father could have meant. And regardless of this man's intention, Jesus cuts to the core of the problem. You see, to be a true follower of Jesus, you must be willing to sacrifice earthly priorities for kingdom priorities. And this disciple wasn't willing to do that. In Jewish customs, it was the firstborn son's duty to go and bury the father, to go and carry out his last will. And if you didn't do that in the Jewish culture, you'd be outcasted by your community. And this disciple didn't want that. This man didn't want to be outcasted by his community. This was a priority that his culture told him was of utmost importance. And he wasn't willing to sacrifice this priority to follow Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, there's many earthly priorities that are of extreme importance, like raising a family, like making a living. There's all these different priorities that are very important. But no earthly priority outweighs a kingdom priority. When Jesus calls us to do something, he's calling us right then to do it. Not when it's convenient for us, not when we feel like it, not when we want to, but he's calling us to do it right then. Our culture tries to tell us what our priorities should be. But our priorities that the culture tells us to do and our priorities that God tells us to do don't line up. It's the kingdom priorities that should always be of top priority in our life. And this man didn't understand that. This man didn't understand that. I remember one time when I had just graduated high school, me and my friends were going on a camping trip. And we were on our way there, and our car broke down on the side of 65. And we were so mad, we were going to be late meeting our other friends there. We had prioritized everything that we could go on this trip in the first place. And it just wasn't working out the way we wanted it to. This tow truck driver came and picked us up. And he told us to just call him Scrappy. He was a short guy, but it looked like Scrappy had lived a life to where he's seen some things. And in the midst of us wanting to get back on track to this camping trip, because this was our priority at the moment, was getting to the camping trip and having fun, God put a kingdom priority right there in our midst. Because we begin to talk to this man. We begin to talk to this man about God and about Christ and about what his relationship with him was. And he told us that he didn't believe in God and that he had lived such a life that he didn't want to be forgiven, that he didn't think he could be forgiven. You see, Scrappy was in the Navy and he was deployed in Afghanistan. And with one time being there, there was a little 9-year-old boy with a bomb vest strapped to him that was going to his unit. And to save his unit, he had to take down that boy. And he thought that it was so bad that he could not be forgiven for it. He didn't want to be forgiven for it. And Scrappy shared story after story of different things that have happened in his life that he didn't want to be forgiven for because he didn't think he could be forgiven for it. But by the time we got back, by the time that we got to the dealership to get the car fixed, we were praying with Scrappy, and he was praying as well. You see, me and my friends could have just worried about going on that camping trip. We could have been mad. We could have called somebody else to come pick us up and been on our way. But we felt like God was calling us to talk to this man. We saw God's kingdom priority right there in the midst of our earthly priority of getting to this camping trip. And I don't know if we've changed his life that day, but I do think that we made a big difference in his life that day. And I don't tell you this story to make myself look like this holy man, because I'm not. I'm telling you this story because this was a time in my life where I sacrificed an earthly priority for a kingdom priority, and I was blessed beyond belief because of it. There are earthly priorities that are very important, but no priority beats a kingdom priority. To truly follow Jesus, we have to be able to sacrifice. And this disciple wasn't going to sacrifice his earthly priority for the kingdom priority of following Jesus in that moment. Jesus was calling this man to get in the boat and follow him. And we don't hear anything else about this disciple in the Bible. So I think it's safe to say also that he did not follow Jesus. He didn't get in that boat. We had to be willing to sacrifice. We had to be willing to say, okay, Jesus, our plans aren't as important as the plans that you have for me in my life. The things that I want to do pale in comparison to the things that you want me to do. Because if we're truly giving our life to Jesus, we're doing just that. We're giving our life to Jesus, to let him take control of it, not to harbor for ourselves our life and let Jesus have control of little pieces of it at a time when we feel like we're ready to. But we're called to give our whole being to God, our whole life to Jesus. Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back in Scripture and says to this man, follow me and let the dead bury their own. And when I first heard this, I was kind of confused by what Jesus meant here. Let the dead bury their own dead. But I think what Jesus was getting at is Jesus is referring to not actually dead people, but spiritually dead people. Jesus is referring to spiritually dead people, telling the disciple that a business of the disciple is with life and not death. Don't let the spiritually dead hold you back from working with life. You see, this disciple was so worried about being outcasted by his community. This disciple was so worried about what other people thought about him. But Jesus is telling him that those people are spiritually dead because they do not know me. Don't let these people who don't know me bring you down and stop you from doing my work. That's what Jesus was telling this man in this moment. But this man was more worried about his duty as a son, his duty to his culture, and he missed the boat. We had to truly sacrifice to truly follow Jesus. And some of you here today might be like this scribe or might be like this disciple. You profess to love Jesus, and you would like to follow him, but you are hesitant about all the sacrifice that following him might entail. You want to follow him, but first you need to take care of some business over here. Or you don't want to risk the relationships of your family and your friends. But it's time to get off the fence. You know that Jesus wants more of your life. He wants more devotion, more commitment from you, including time in prayer, including time studying and meditating on the Bible, including being bold and telling others about Jesus and about the gospel. God wants you to use your gifts within his body, within the body of Christ, including calling up one another and finding out what you can do to serve one another in your community and in this congregation, encouraging one another. And this might require part of your time and energy and maybe even your finances, but you need to make a decision. Are you going to follow Jesus, or are you going to find an excuse to wait for some other day when it's more convenient for you? Because the truth is, Jesus has given the order to depart, to go out into this community and make a difference. Jesus has given the order to depart. Don't miss the boat. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for being a God who loves his people. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, you love them just the same. And Lord, help us to understand that. Lord, help us to want to make these sacrifices for you so that we may truly follow you. Help us to surrender whatever we have in our lives so that we can truly be your disciples, so that nothing in our lives are holding us back to being true disciples. Heavenly Father, help us to be a people that seek your face daily. Help us to be a people who live for you and live to make a difference in this community because of the love that you've poured in our life. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.